So the first reading is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake at Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen.
Thanks, David. Let's just pray together. Father, let these words be your words, not mine. Father, let this message be your message, not mine. And let us hear it. In Jesus' name. Amen. That was the reading for the cartoon. Almost word for word. Very close in places. I've done what I usually do, which is to write loads of things down and then have a feeling that I'm not going to read them all. So I apologise if I go off on a tangent, but you'll notice when I do. We'll start reading and see how far it goes. I know I've said this before, but I find it amazing, and I mean amazing, that the disciples were able to walk, spend time with Jesus, and to listen to him firsthand. To see how he treated people, to witness his love and grace, to actually see the miracles that he performed. That must have been truly amazing. How easy it should be to stay focused on him all the time. And yet that's not what happened. The people he chose must have been truly special, real pillars of society, always doing things for their community, looking after the sick, always obeying God's will. No, that's not true at all. Jesus picked normal working people, people from different walks of life. Sea of Galilee offered fishermen a real livelihood. Perhaps that's why we believe at least seven of the disciples were fishermen. From what I read on the internet, source of all knowledge and fountain of none, fishermen at that time were gruff, unkempt, vile, shabbily dressed, and often used vulgar language. The fishermen of the first century were a man's man. They were full of vigour and had boisterous tempers. This is perhaps why James and his brother John were called the sons of thunder, which they were in Mark chapter 3, verse 17. I have to be honest, that's not exactly the sort of person I expected Jesus to call. If you were to give me a scenario, it would be somebody who lived his life well. Clearly these weren't them people. When Jesus first called Matthew, the disciple was sitting at his tax collector's booth. Matthew belonged to the class of Jewish tax collectors, which is referred to as moxa, who extorted, and that was the phrase used on the internet, extorted money from travellers. I thought that was interesting. Publicans or tax collectors were despised, regarded as traitors to their own people. Pillars of society? Don't think so. Then there was a guy called Simon. Whilst not strictly a profession, Simon the Canaanite earned the title of a zealot. His fierce loyalty to his faith and Israel was evident. The zealots were a religious sect. Zealots would attempt to arouse rebellion among the Jews. Simon stubbornly insisted that the Jews must rebel against the Roman invasion of Palestine in 63 BC. But when Simon joins Jesus as a disciple, he remains zealous, but with a new allegiance and loyalty to Jesus. Now the other disciples, I'm not sure of their professions, but it is felt that they were all tradesmen of some type or another. The one thing that is certain though, when Jesus called them, they gave up everything, turned away from that lifestyle, and followed him. Now, given that that was a lifestyle that they'd not been doing for 5 minutes, but they'd been doing their life, that was a big step. Why did he choose them? What did he see in them that he could use? I think there's probably some words there for another time if I get asked back. But today, I just want to see and talk about one person, and that is Peter. So let's start with a bit more background. Peter's name was also Simeon, which was shortened to Simon. In some passages, he's also called Simon bar Jonah, meaning Simon, the son of Jonah. He was born in or near Bethsaida Julius. This is written in John chapter 1, verse 44, which lay on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. The town's name means House of the Fishermen, and it sat just east of the Jordan River. That was just outside the province of Galilee and under the rule of Herod Philip, a son of Herod the Great. Bethsaida Julius was a town inhabited by mostly wealthy Jews and Greeks. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew likely traded with both Jews and Greeks and probably spoke Aramaic. Possibly a bit of useless information, but just a little bit of background. Before Simon Peter met Jesus, he lived in a few miles to the west in a Galilean town of Capernaum and was married, which it refers to in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when I read this to my wife, she said, "Was he married?" I said, "Yes, he was." As it says, he took Jesus to his house while his mother-in-law was sick upstairs. So it clearly must have been married at some point. It was here that he and Andrew went into partnership with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, as was mentioned in our reading. So why did he choose Peter? What did he see in Peter that made Jesus choose him? Did he see a leader? Did he see somebody who would willingly drop and change to become a Christian? Did he see traits in his life? What we do know for certain is that Peter realized that Jesus was not only a prophet, but someone to whom he could surrender his life. Right, so this bloke who is rough, ready, as the phrase goes, meets Jesus, witnesses a miracle, and agrees to give up everything to follow him. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." This is the reading we've just heard. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. The notes in my Bible focus on two things: humanity and revelation. Jesus' miracle totally amazed Peter. He realized that only God could perform a miracle such as this. He immediately fell in worship and immediately confessed his sin. The first step in a relationship with God is to recognize him for who he is, realize our sinfulness and sinful nature, and then God continues our relationship by forgiving and forgetting our sin. Now, that's what Peter did. So Peter immediately drops everything and went and followed Jesus. Did he immediately change and become a good person overnight? Answer, no. If you read the Bible, and I know we all have, but if you read it and pick out, there are bits in about Peter where it talks about him reversing back to cussing and swearing, where he's outspoken, where he actually tries to cut off somebody's ear because he's trying to arrest Jesus. He's not completely changed. What he has done, he has made a commitment to Jesus. Now, the theme of our service today was to do with Peter and to do with God's grace and to do with God's love. When you become a Christian, you make a step or a statement of faith, if you like, that that's who you are and that's what you want to become. And you stand with people like us as Christians, behaving in a Christian manner. Easy done in church. Very easy done in church. You know, we're all like-minded. We've all come here for the same reason. If you didn't want to worship God, you wouldn't be here. If you didn't want to follow what God was saying, you would not be here. If you weren't inquiring or looking to see what a relationship with God was like, you would not be here. But when you go outside of that wall, what are you like? Do you change? Do you go back to being the person that you were before you became a Christian? Do parts of your life still show? The answer is yes. You're not perfect. I'm not going to try and stand here and tell you are, because you're not. You strive to be it. You try to be it. What Jesus says to you is that he is your Lord and Savior. He will guide you in everything that you do. You still have free choice. And sometimes you will choose not to follow him. You might not make that as a conscious decision, but you effectively will do that. Now, what happens then? Do you lose your faith? Have you backslidden? Does God not care about you anymore? No, because what we see here is that when that happens, God cares for you even more. Jesus supports you even more. Peter, this person who kept, if you like, wandering, what did he end up being? He ended up being the rock on which God's church is now built. Not my words, but God's words. So, I don't know about you, but I beat myself up when I do things that are wrong, or when I don't do things that I should, or when things should happen faster and they don't. You'll all know that I went to Twist Green before I came here. And then God said to me, "Why are you not worshipping in your community?" And he told me that for 2 years. And for 2 years, I still went to Twist. Why did I go to Twist? Because I enjoyed going to Twist. It was easy to go to Twist. Everybody was of a like mind. Worship was fantastic. It was a nice family community, and I felt safe. After 2 years, I finally gave up on that and thought, well, it's about time I went and started working in my local community. Put in perspective, since I moved to Warrington, I have not lived off the outside this block of Glover Road. I've had three houses, and all of them have been inside the Glover Road ring. So I was in Bracken Close, then I was in Copperfield Close, now I'm in Stonecroft Close. Right? So I have been in this community since 1981, albeit I've not been to this church that long. So I left Twiss. I dragged all my family, because they all came to church with me at the time. And I stopped going to church, and I wanted to come here. And 12 months later, I hadn't come through this door. Right? I hadn't been in. Christine used to say to me every week, "We're going to church today, Colin." No. I need to wash the car. Did the car ever get washed? Not a chance. But I would find any excuse that I could make not to come to church. I put off things and stopped doing things. Right? I'd become a Christian. I'd gone down the field of Tamfield. I told you that last time. I'd made a commitment. I'd been filled with the Spirit. And yet, I still didn't do everything that God called me to do. Now, you'd think at that point in time that God would turn around and say, "Not bothering with you anymore, mate, because, you know, it's no point. You're not going to do anything." Well, that isn't the case, is it? Because, like, I started coming to this church. And then I started getting involved in lots and lots of things in the church. I ended up becoming an elder. I ended up leading the boys' brigade. That took a heck of a lot. Never even heard of it, as I said last time. Only got involved as a helper, then suddenly involved as a leader. Knowing that I never had any gifts for that, but that God would give me enough to do it. Now, since then, have I been perfect? Have I actually done everything that God wants me to do? Absolutely not. I wish. But God continues to use me. He continues to work through me. He puts me in jobs that I don't necessarily like. I was talking to somebody about it just before the service. But while I'm there, I'm witnessing for him, because he gives me that opportunity to witness. He gives me the words to say. He gives me the opportunity. He tells me what to do. Now, I do not claim to in any way, shape or form to be perfect. I am a heck of a long way off that. And I do not do everything that God wants me to do. But what I do know is that God always gives me the strength to carry on. And he never, ever, 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 can't put enough evers after that, stops loving me. With Peter, he made a rock. He built a church in him. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from then on in, Peter became a true, 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 if you read his epistles and if you read the Acts of the Apostles, a solid foundation stone for the church of God. You may wonder what this is all about, really. Well, what I want to encourage you is that when you make a step of faith and you become a Christian, don't expect to be perfect. Don't expect everything to just suddenly drop into place. Don't expect everything to be the way you want it to be. It won't be, because that's just not the way it is. What will happen, though, is that you'll be given encouragement, opportunity, and love, and grace, and power, and strength, and all of God's gifts. You can be the person he wants you to be, but you have to stay focused on him. One of the readings that I was going to have was to do with Peter walking on water. And I've got 4 pages of notes on this in there, so I won't look at them. And basically, there's a storm on the sea, and the disciples are in the boat. And the storm is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And as it's getting really bad and it's dark, Jesus walks across the water towards the boat. Peter sees this person or apparition or whatever, says, "Jesus, if that's you, command me to come to you, and I will come to you, and I will walk on the water." Jesus encourages Peter to do that. And Peter walks on water. And that's in the New Testament. It's a Bible reference. It's not me making your old pan. It's not me getting it from the internet. Right? Peter walks on water. But what he does do, as he's looking, he thinks, oh, this storm's getting really bad. Oh, look how far away from that boat. And he starts sinking. And at that point, Jesus puts his hand out, holds it, pulls him up, and saves him. Now, Peter, having seen all the miracles, having been with Jesus all his life, having walked everywhere, all Jesus' active life is where he is, having seen it all, turned and looked the other way. Now, somebody who witnesses these miracles can do that. How much easier is it for somebody who's never seen a miracle, but who in faith believes in him to do that? The outcome, though, is the same. Jesus will stretch out his hand, grab hold, and save you, and pull you back. And that is exactly what happens when you move away from him. Back to the notes. Any idea what I'm up to? Not a clue. I take great heart from Peter. I look at him and think to myself, well, this guy's human. What he went through and what he did and what happened to him are what happens to us all. So the next time you're feeling low, and the next time you're feeling like you're challenged, remember Peter. Remember the fact that Peter was challenged, that Peter was questioned, that Peter doubted. Who'll ever forget the three, I do not know this man, statements that Peter made? Who'll ever forget those? Certainly not Peter will. Peter will and did totally remember those sentences that he said. Just remember, it's not just you that finds it hard. It's everybody. Stay focused. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on Jesus. Keep your eye on the path. Don't look away. That's the message of today. You've got some clips there. Shall we see them? Show you what happens if you take your eye off the ball, literally off the ball, right? The reality of it is, though, if you take your eye off Christ, if you take your eye off Jesus, then you do drop the ball. And it's not hard to pick it back up again because Jesus is still there holding his hand out. Okay? Can we have our second reading, please?
James 2:2-8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Andy, could you put that back up? From the beginning. I just my notes say short sermon, second reading, even shorter sermon, smiley face. So this isn't going to be as long. Okay. I just want to emphasize these words. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's what it did with Peter. The testing of his faith produced perseverance. And where did he end up? You know. Keep going. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Keep going. Whenever you ask, you must believe it. You must not doubt it, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect anything. When you pray to God, it's not like a wish list. It's actually talking to your dad, right? You must believe what you ask for. You must pray as you feel led, and you must believe what you ask for. I just have one other Bible reading, which my notes seem to have lost. Andy, did you put Isaiah chapter 40 on? Can we just read it? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Keep your eyes focused on God. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Look to him at all times. If you feel you're struggling, look again. But look to Jesus all the time. In your prayers, keep focused on him. In your thoughts, keep focused on him. And when you walk out of this building, hard though it may be, stay focused on him. Amen.